Welcome to episode one of the Ever After Weddings podcast. Today, I'm your host, Robert James, who I'm the founder and CEO of Ever After Weddings. And today I'm joined by Alex Bassani of Unity Entertainment, who is also our preferred DJ. Welcome to the show, Alex.
Great to be here, and what an honor to be on episode one also.
Yeah, it's great. Right, I'm just going to jump straight into it, Alex, if you're happy with that.
Please.
All right. So we'll start off with question one. Why should anyone hire a wedding DJ? Because it's actually not obvious to me why some people wouldn't choose to have a Spotify playlist play in the background.
Well, Rob, I'm glad I can have the everyman's perspective on this from you because I'm sure most people would be in the same boat. And I kind of think I take it for granted it's a no-brainer that you need a DJ for your wedding. But so I'm glad to answer this question for you. The short answer is you technically don't need a DJ for your wedding, but there is a lot of advantages to having a DJ for your wedding. So what a DJ can do that a Spotify playlist can't do, a DJ can mix the tracks. So that means they're playing the best parts of the song. They're not just playing a song from start to finish. They can transition between tracks so that they're still maintaining a high level of energy, keeping the crowd on the dance floor. They can pick out the best 2 minutes of a song that's 5 minutes long so that we're not losing momentum. And that can be the difference between a heaving dance floor or a dud dance floor. DJ can also use their eyes and read the crowd and see what's working and see what's not working and adapt on the fly. So when it comes to having a packed out dance floor, my money would be on a DJ versus a Spotify playlist every time.
Do you think many couples use a Spotify playlist?
I would say, yeah, I think some do. Some do definitely, as it's kind of a budget option, I guess. But having a DJ there, you're not just doing the music, you're also providing all the equipment as well. And yeah, you're acting as an audio technician as well. So if something goes wrong with the microphone not sending out signal or not working, etc., any little tech issues, the DJ knows how to use that equipment in and out so they can resolve it on the fly and you're not left scratching your head with any awkward silences.
Yeah, another thing that confuses me, and I think confuses a lot of people, is the DJ also typically does the MC or the introductions. So, can you explain the difference between those two roles and how often they overlap? And do you offer both with Unity Entertainment?
I do, yes, I'm a qualified DJ and MC. I think they are two separate roles, however. So the DJ is more concerned with the music side of things, the MC, as well as making announcements and letting guests know where the bathrooms are and the smoking areas and introducing speakers. The MC is also sort of like the conductor of the orchestra, if you will. So the MC basically runs the night and keeps things to time, checks in with everyone, makes everything run smoothly. They're sort of like the little fixer as well, liaising with all the other vendors, checking in, making sure everyone's working well together. So the MC should also be kind of hosting the night as well as making the announcements and using the microphone. But yes, DJs often do use the microphone sometimes, which is why they can get confused.
Do you typically are you hired to be the MC as well, or what? Give me a percentage breakdown. Are you 80-20 or 50-50, or what is it?
Yeah, I would say probably about at least half of the weddings that I do for DJ, I'm also the MC as well. The other option is they've either got another professional MC, be it the celebrant staying on as the MC or a separate professional MC. Some couples like to use one of their guests as an MC as well. I always advise couples that it is still a job to do, so that guest is going to be working on the night, and there are certain soft skills that come with the professional MC that a guest probably wouldn't have. So they might forget to check that the photographer's ready or the videographer's ready before announcing the speeches, or make sure that the speaker is actually not in the bathroom before they introduce them. Little things like that.
So the MC is actually a coordinator as well as an announcer.
Yeah, without the sort of official title of coordinator, they are sort of, yeah, kind of the helm, the things start when the MC announces them, so they're kind of making sure that the night's progressing forward as it should be and on time.
Very good. Thanks for clarifying that. Before you sign up to be the DJ for a wedding, what are typically the questions that couples will ask you? Before deciding.
Yeah, the number one question I get asked, which is a good question as well, is what happens if I get sick, which is a very valid question because I am a one-man show. And the answer is that I've kind of built up a network of DJs that I know, wedding DJs that I can rely on and call on in the event that something like that happens. I often say that I've like to be proud that I've never missed a single wedding yet today in over 500, I would say. So it's one of the things I understand the show must go on. So if I am a mild illness, I will white knuckle through it and then sleep all day the next day. Yeah, I also got a network of DJs. A lot of people have owed me favors. I've filled in for them before, so I can call in some favors.
So you've never missed a wedding, is that correct?
Touch wood, yes. Never missed a wedding.
That's fantastic. That's amazing. Over 500 weddings, did you say?
Yes.
That's amazing. And what are some questions that you think people should ask you, which they typically don't, but you think they're important to clarify? Or if there's couples out there and they're not hiring you, what would you advise them to ask their potential DJs that they're inquiring with?
Yeah, well, one of the pillars of my business is that I'm a backup nerd. And I think a lot of people don't think about this, but equipment can fail. It does fail. Things happen. So it's important to be able to recover from that because if a speaker blows and you don't have a spare speaker or a laptop crashes or you don't have a backup situation, that could just basically be a catastrophe for a wedding night. So I would advise every couple to check out what is your backup situation. Second, I would also ask, I think it's important to ask a DJ you're interviewing for your wedding, is this your full-time job or is it a side hustle? Because if it's their full-time job, then you know you're going to get their attention and dedication that you deserve. If it's their kind of just their weekend job, then they're trying to fit you in along with their office job 9 to 5, and they might not be as prepared as you would hoped for.
Very good, very good. And when it comes to the cost, which is probably one of the most important, or at least one of the first questions that you'll get, how much do you think, first of all, do you want to tell us how much you cost typically? And then tell us where you find an acceptable range is if somebody's not hiring, if you're advising a friend, let's say, and they weren't hiring you, what's an acceptable range? And where does it get suspicious? Where do you find it gets extreme and you'd step away or warn people to stay away from?
Sure. So, yeah, look, I'm an open book. I've got it right there on my website. My packages range from $999 up to $2,600. That depends on services needed, if it's MC only, MC or DJ, etc. Average couple spend is around $1,700, and that gets you 5 hours DJ service with all the equipment and everything. I would say, yeah, sort of 1,500 to 2,500 would be the kind of comfortable range that you'd be looking to spend, 25 on the most sort of upper end of things. I do know some that charge a little bit more than that. I would say probably anything under $1,500, you'd be either getting someone who's inexperienced and has to be more competitive in their pricing because they don't have that experience, or they're just kind of cheaping out on their equipment. So yeah, sort of anything under that.
Yeah, sounds about right. And we are in a unique time right now, Alex, with technology and specifically AI is changing almost every industry. And so I wanted to ask you, how do you think AI is going to change the wedding DJ industry?
I think in terms of music suggestions, AI can definitely jump in on that. But just touching back to what I said earlier, you know, the DJ having a live DJ there, they are a presence, you know, they can kind of hype up the crowd. They can be reading the crowd and they can see what's working on the fly and adapt immediately. So I think that is something that would be very difficult to replicate with AI unless you had some kind of a camera technology and some heat mapping sensors and using that to feed back into the an algorithm to detect on whether a song's working or not. And even then you'd still need a technician to come in and set up all that and break it down at the end of the night. So I think my job's safe without sounding too confident. Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough for now, unless AI gets much smarter, which seems to be the trend, but we'll see. I think everybody doesn't know where all this leads. The final question I want to ask you, Alex, is how relevant is the background, like the where the people come from. So for example, if it's an Irish wedding, or if it's a Greek wedding, if it's a Serbian or Russian wedding, is it a completely different playlist for each nationality or ethnicity or group or community? Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure. It's very rare that usually you have a completely single culture at a wedding. You know, you've got two families coming together, and then people invite their friends and their work colleagues as well. So it's very rare that I would have a 100% Irish or 100% Serbian wedding, especially in Australia being so multicultural. So usually, what gets the best result is if I kind of play a big mix of familiar party music, as well as still personalizing it to the couple and their family and their friends, and playing some of their cultural music as well.
Very good, very good. Well, Alex, that wraps up all our questions. So, if people want to learn more about you, you're obviously on everafterweddings.com.au, but where else can people find you? Where can people connect with you or follow you or find your brand?
Yeah, you can just reach out to me on Instagram. Hit me a DM there, Unity Entertainment, or just Google search is your friend as well. Google Unity Entertainment or Google Wedding DJ Sydney. I'm usually up there.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for being on episode one of Ever After Weddings podcast, Alex. And we'll speak again soon, hopefully.
My pleasure. Thank you, Rob.